You're listening to the iFilmmaker Podcast, the show where we learn and grow in the freelance filmmaking industry. I am your host, Ariel Martinez. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the iFilmmaker Podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez. I'm a freelance filmmaker. Glad you could be with us. Today we have a conversation with Paul Xavier. Now, Paul runs a video production agency. It's basically a mixture between a video production company and an advertising agency where he creates the videos for his clients, whether it's commercial, documentary, you know, any advertising video. And he basically puts it on the air for his clients. And that's essentially a video production agency. And he's had some good success doing that. He also runs an online mentorship program called Next Level Creator. And he's had some great success there. I wanted to bring him on to discuss sort of his methods and his outlook on the industry. And we had such a great conversation, a conversation that I think opened up my eyes as well. And this is why I love doing the podcast, because I love meeting new people that have different perspectives in the industry, even perspectives that I haven't even thought of before. So I think this is going to be a great episode for you guys. And I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So before I get to the to our conversation, just a reminder that we are on Facebook. We're pretty live on there. So make sure you find us on Facebook, join our group, and get in with the conversation. Over on Patreon, I've uploaded another vlog discussing my recent job actually today that I had, and how I'm dealing with a client that is essentially asking for more than they're willing to pay for, and how I deal with that, and you know how I'm able to make things like that work. So go and check that out over on the Patreon. For it's patreon.com/iFilmmaker. I'll have a link to that down below. I was recently on a podcast for the Corecast. Basically, Core SWX had me as a guest on their podcast, and that was a lot of fun. I got to talk with Sean over at Core, and we had a great conversation regarding my career and whatnot, and the gear that I use and how I use Core batteries essentially. So I had a great conversation over there, and I'll have a link to that episode, to that podcast, down in the show notes for this episode. And if you haven't already done so, Jackson Kingsley's Video Business Mastery Seminar is really, really good. It's 40 minutes of free information, ladies and gentlemen. Free information for 40 minutes where Jackson Kingsley is laying out his top 10 secrets for video business success. I have a very special link for you guys in the show notes for this episode. Go and check that out. Do not miss it. And lastly, I want to thank everyone that has been leaving us reviews over on iTunes. That really helps us with the rankings. And I hope that you guys continue to do that. If you haven't done it already, I plead that you go over and do that. So thank you guys in advance for leaving us that 5-star review. Really do appreciate that. So with all that out of the way, I want to go ahead and get into our conversation with Paul Xavier. And again, I'm very excited about this. I think you guys are really going to enjoy our conversation. So here he is. Paul Xavier, thanks so much for coming on the iFilmmaker Podcast.
Hey, nice to meet you. Good to be here.
Yeah, man. So for those that do not know you, this is the first time on the show, please introduce yourself, what it is that you do, and I guess how you got started.
Sure. So what's up? Hi, everyone. My name is Paul Xavier. We run a video production agency. So it's a kind of a pairing between an advertising agency and a content creation company. And we shoot commercials, we run ads for companies. We've been doing it for 6 years or so. And then now we also run a online mentorship experience for people as well. That's called Next Level Creators. That's what most filmmakers will know us by, is that work, because we are pretty, probably pretty big in the space as far as ads go. You might see us because we basically practice what we preach on that.
I've seen one or two.
Hey, there we go. Yeah, we're doing our job. Then from that perspective, we actually help people with one-on-one mentorship, helping them create ads, run ads, write scripts, create storyboards, go get clients, grow their business, and scale them to multiple six or seven figures in the fastest time frame possible.
Wow. That's quite a list. That's awesome. I'm pretty sure a lot of my listeners are going to want to know some of the information that you have in your course. But I'm more interested to, I want to know more about kind of how you got started in the video production aspect of it.
Sure.
And how you migrated over to focusing on marketing and strategizing and all that stuff. But we can start with the whole video production aspect of it.
Yeah. So video production kind of came as a secondary thing to one of my very first freelance clients that I'd ever gotten. They wanted a website built, and that was kind of my background. I was a government contractor. I did some software stuff with a government contracting company. Then through that, I learned how to create websites really quickly, really easily. And that led to, oh, you just built me a website. Now I need a video. And I was like, oh, cool. And this was for a small jewelry appraisal company, actually. Wow. So that led to a video. And then immediately after that, what happens when someone has a website, a brand new video? They're like, how do I get people to see this thing? And that's where distribution came in. So it was it wasn't a whole bunch of clients. It was one person who kind of led into everything that I learned from a commercial campaign standpoint, as far as that was the demand I found. And I didn't know anything at the time. I was just a kid, basically trying to make some extra money to help my family. And then I realized that skill set combination of like video, websites, distribution was something that almost no one knew how to do together. Like, a lot of people knew content, a lot of people knew websites, a lot of people knew distribution, but very few people knew how to put them together, which is when you really unlock the power of all three and can grow a business with predictability. So that led to tons of other projects, kind of going down the line of figuring out who bad clients are, figuring out who good clients are in terms of companies, like bad being restaurants, not so much the best people to work with, in my opinion. Low margin businesses, dealing with lifetime value. And just difficult to be, some of them are very difficult to be with, whereas other companies like e-commerce companies, service-based companies, coaching, consulting industry, things like that, you have a lot of freedom with the creative and the videos you're making, which makes it super fun. And then you get to run the distribution and everything as well. So
That's super interesting. So you really didn't, like, how much of your time is focused on the actual video production of it? I assume not as much as purely video-based filmmakers, I guess, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Nowhere near as much as people who are just doing video. Right. But it really just, there's a lot of companies who need people who are just siloed into video, right? Like, for example, one of our clients, he specializes in what we would call a content retainer, where you just are offering video ongoing every single week or month to a business owner who's spending $50,000 a month on Facebook ads. But to make sure that they don't burn through those audiences by showing them the same ad every single day, 14 times a day, you have to have a lot of video. And so he just partners with them in that sense. And all he does is shoot, because that's what he loves.
And I love that. It's important to understand that you can't possibly focus all your attention on video, because otherwise everything else will kind of fall through the wayside, right? And it seems like from the get-go, you already knew what you wanted to do. You wanted to provide a need that these companies had, and you knew that the best way to get there was to focus not only on video, but the marketing aspect of it as well. And that had to take a lot of your kind of research time as well.
I would say I didn't really know that going in. I learned that through that experience with that one client, and then recognizing Once it happened once and I had that experience, I think a ton of other people just started coming to mind as far as this person could use this too. This person could use this too. My cousin who owns this business, I should reach out to them because I could do these three things and it could be powerful for them. And that's kind of how it spiraled and moved really quickly for me in particular. But video was always, it's a huge passion of mine. But did I ever think I was going to make a living shooting and doing distribution and marketing and things like that? Absolutely not. That came from just figuring it out as I went.
That's super interesting. What do you see that companies are constantly making mistakes on? So those companies that are trying to kind of, I'm sure this is a very, maybe even sometimes humorous answer, but like, what do you see that companies that are try to take it upon themselves, and more specifically individual freelancers than anything? I know that there's companies of all sizes, but what do you see that people do mistakes on? Like maybe focusing on something that they should not be focusing on and kind of looking at it the wrong way or different perspectives.
I would say people focus on quantity, not quality. That's going to be an issue. And quality meaning more than just the look of a video, but also the content of the video. So many people just basically steal or copy what someone else has done, replicate the exact same video for their business and throw it up there and think it's going to work. And it doesn't. You actually have to innovate a little bit or create something that's more valuable. That's one of the biggest mistakes I see. As far as mistakes go, there's a plethora of them. So it really just depends on the instance, really. For most freelancers going to business owners, another huge mistake is just thinking that video is always the solution, which is not.
Interesting.
Sometimes businesses don't just need a video, and a video won't really help them. It'll be an expense based on what they're trying to offer. And so being able to really identify where video fits into a strategy, right? Because content in many senses for businesses is just a tactic. It's like, all right, well, video, it's the next big thing. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's creating it. So business owners are on the eye looking, trying to see what they need to do next. And filmmakers are there saying, hey, hire me, I'll shoot you a video like your competitor just did over there. Not knowing that the competitor just lost 10 grand on that video and has no idea what they're doing with it. So it comes down to like understanding that the tactic has its place when it fits into the grand scheme of a strategy. Creating a $10,000 video or $50,000 video and then throwing it on your website that gets no views, not strategy, right? That's someone who's thinking tactics. Someone who's thinking strategy is like, all right, well, we're going to drive 10,000 people to this landing page. On that landing page, we're going to create this message, this really powerful emotional story with this video, and that's going to turn people into customers. And here's what we think we'll be getting customers for in terms of a profit margin. And it's like that's the strategist who's unlocking the power of video.
That's amazing. Come on, man.
Hey, there you go.
How did you kind of come across all this information? I mean, what you're saying obviously makes sense. Was it a lot of trial and error? Did you kind of research this? Did you have a mentor yourself? How did you learn all this?
A lot of all three of those things, definitely. I mean, I think everyone tries to learn things on their own, right? Like, especially entrepreneurs, growth-minded people. Like, I know you know my friend Jacob Owens.
Love
that guy's always learning everything. Yeah. Great dude.
Yeah.
So they're always we're just looking around, studying things on our own. Then I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on mentors over the years. People who could teach me Facebook ads at a level that very few people on earth know how to do. It's managing millions of dollars a month. Then same thing with YouTube, same thing with Instagram, because Facebook and Instagram are technically same company, but like just the nuance is really everything in those areas. And same thing with business strategy. So hired plenty of mentors, and then it's what you do with that knowledge that matters. Mm. And having the free info, having the paid info with mentors ain't going to get rid of the trial and error. So you got to do a lot of that as well, but it makes it faster.
That's so good. And what can, I guess, videographers do? What can videographers do to kind of up their chances in landing a job? So one of the things that I kind of like to share with people is to make yourself more valuable than kind of what you put out there, right? Everyone knows that you can edit. Everyone knows you can shoot a video. But what will set you apart for this one specific client? Sometimes I like to kind of get in there in a meeting with the client and letting them know and how much, and just throw value at a package that, you know, they'd be very interested to purchase. From a marketing standpoint, though, I could be lacking in that area as well. So how can I make my client a little more confident in hiring me for a job?
Great question. Kind of going back to what we said before, it's nuanced. Mm. So let me ask you this, like, what kind of business are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Or what type of client are you having a conversation
with? I'm sitting in front of a real estate company that, so for example, recently, I had a buddy that reached out to me and he said, listen, our real estate company, although they're big, they're not very interested in kind of paying so much money for video, but they still want to post a ton of content. Like, I'm talking like 2 or 3 videos a day. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. So I sat down with them and they were mostly interested in me consulting them, which is fine. I went in and started consulting them for a few days. And it seems like they're teaching their people how to shoot and edit, which is going to be terrible, right, for that. So I kind of consulted in the sense of, well, okay, so what they're going to need is, if to make it as easy as possible for them, I kind of let them know the kind of gear that they would like to use and things like that, lighting in certain places, things that it's going to be almost impossible to teach people that are not kind of sort of filmmakers. So how could I convince them, for example, to kind of, well, just hire me to edit all that stuff, you know, or I'll get a team together to, you know, put some stuff together for you. What kind of value would, for example, what would you throw at them, you know?
Well, it's for me, when I'm in a sales environment, I think that value comes oftentimes more so through smart questioning that brings clarity to the other individual's situation than it does for me word vomiting why they're screwing everything up and what they need to be doing better and trying to do all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't think I'm that smart to be able to tell people what they should be doing or shouldn't be. And I don't presume to be. But in that instance, a few things that I would go through is like, all right, how many people are on your team or agents that do you have? I mean, if we were to role play a little bit, just give me
they have about 150 agents.
150 agents. All right. And how many of them do you presume or estimate have experience editing videos?
Maybe a handful of them.
Okay. And how much time do you think it's going to take for them to be editing these videos every single day? If they're putting 2 out a day, how much time does that take?
I don't know if they were going to have every single one of them, but I think as a company, they were trying to have maybe one agent, you know, put one out, I don't know, a month. I really don't know what their strategy was to kind of get everybody involved.
Sure. So the reason I'm asking those questions, because the way it was kind of set to me in the initial instance was like, if you're having all these people do this stuff, how much time is that going to take them and how much do you pay them? That's going to cost you a lot of money, my friend, whereas you could pay a fraction of that to have me and my team do it professionally. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways to bring value through clarity in terms of questioning. But of course, that situation, we would have, role-playing wise, we would have gone down a different
path there. No, for sure. I think that one of their answers would have been they mostly get paid commission off their sales. So
sure.
They mostly get paid commission off their sales. So it kind of entices them to kind of be a part of this kind of video network that the real estate company is trying to put together. I don't know what their strategy was, but
So in that instance, then what's more valuable is like, yep, creating the videos is going to be valuable for them, but you also have to figure out how to differentiate their videos. Making things just look nice is one thing, but having someone there to consult them on the script, what to show, what not to show, how to present the videos so that way they actually sell the properties. That's the whole purpose of having them make videos in the first place. And do they have anything like that? Because that would be where value can be created by you as the video expert. Is like, you know, there's so much more to the filmmaking process than just shooting and editing and the technical aspects. It's also the consulting on the story, the emotional aspects of it, the play, I mean, like basically pulling out why people want this offer in the first place and helping them create templates for that, that they can rinse and repeat and use over and over and over again to grow.
Yeah. That's good. And just to be clear, I did not want to edit for them. from what I heard, sitting in that meeting, it was going to be a crap show. So I do not want to be anywhere near that. It was something I did consider when, you know, I guess in the part of the meeting when they were kind of talking about all the content that they want to put, and obviously all these light bulbs start going off in my head. I'm like, maybe, you know, I could be the guy. But then when I saw their process on how they plan to kind of shoot everything, I want none of that. That was going to be a nightmare. But okay, so here's another scenario. A prominent college, for example, for me, it would be FIU. I do a lot of work for that's my alma mater. That's where I attended. I do some work for them. The School of Business wants to promote a specific program that they kind of do some sort of challenge every year, and they want to start building content, you know. How would I make myself more valuable to them, right? How would I offer that more services? Again, in addition to the video.
Yeah. So questions come to my mind, which this is, we teach a sales model. I call it earn the deal. And oftentimes it just goes into like, the premise of earn the deal is that you really should not be making offers unless you understand what the person's trying to accomplish. And like in that instance, I hear someone say, hey, I really want content for my program. First thing that's going to come to my mind is why? Why do you think this is what you should be doing? How do you envision it? So they might say, well, I want to create content for my program because I want to get more clients for my program. I want more students for it. Awesome. Well, how are you going to get that content in front of those new students? Are you planning to leverage it in an ad campaign? Where's that going? How much are you going to spend on it? How much are you willing to spend per client? You see, and I'm not sure if you ask those types of questions right now.
I know that they were handling, again, so this is a scenario that I kind of built up in my head that didn't really happen. But I know that that was their goal. Right. But they have their, I guess, their internal people or another agency that handles. I actually don't offer marketing to my clients. I mean, sometimes light bulbs do go in my head if there's ongoing work possibilities where they're, you know, I'll kind of go in that direction. But I'm just thinking of, you know, how to make yourself more valuable to your client, you know, and in that instance, how can, just that pretty much. So,
So from that perspective, asking why the person is trying to do this and then saying, well, how many videos do you want? Like asking those questions, and depending on what their answers are, you're going to be able to make more value for them by helping them get closer to the reason they're doing this stuff in the first place. So like, well, we just want to create more content so that way people know that this thing exists. Awesome. Right? Like, well, here are three videos or three ideas I have. Have you considered these? And one of them they hadn't considered, and there you go. Now you got yourself an extra potential video to shoot for and edit, and there's extra revenue for your business. Like if you're offering the video portion as your primary thing and you don't want to do any of the marketing side, figuring out how to offer strategic messages, strategic concepts, and having a database of those is extremely valuable. So specific videos that almost every offer or business needs I mean, there's a Rolodex of them. If you go in and just say, hey, I'll shoot you the testimonial video interview that every other class in the world has. It's like, great. Yeah. You know, I'll shoot you the promo video that every other class in the world has. Great. How about we differentiate things here a little bit and we show like a behind the scenes video. Mm-hmm. We do a documentary video of a student who went through this or is going through it for next year's, you know, round of this class. So we actually follow someone through the experience. We do another one that's a demonstration related video where it's like demonstrating before and after. Here's what happened. Here's how it happened. Here's every step along the way. So getting a little interesting with your concepts and your strategies will begin to have light bulbs go off for people where they're like, this is someone I should keep on Rolodex because they're always coming up with ideas that will grow the base of whether it's clients or exposure or branding or what have you, the business wants.
That's good. I like that. I like that a lot. And I think it seems like the only way you're really going to find that out, it's through experience, through a bunch of trial and error and kind of seeing the diversities between different businesses and different clients and how they work and how they want to work. So it's it just seems like, it's either you could probably take a course like yours and kind of speed ramp your way through that or kind of just learn on your own and maybe look at what other people are doing online and whatnot and sort of putting two and two together.
It's like we kind of talked about before. You know, I'm a huge believer that people, like it's a famous, I think it was Tony Robbins who said it, but like people are drowning in knowledge and starving for wisdom. And so the way we've engineered everything is that like I don't call Next Level Creators a course. I sell courses like 14 Day Filmmaker, that thing, that's a course. You can buy it $48. Yeah, I'll probably never talk to most of the people who go through the thing. They can go through it. It's a bunch of information, worksheets, incredibly valuable experience we designed, but it's all automated. Mm-hmm. Programs and mentorship to me are where you actually know the person.
That's true.
Like I know everybody who's in Next Level Creators. I know them by name. I get to know their situation. I work with them one-on-one. And when they're in a situation with a client, this is where speed is so valuable, is like giving that little nuance to, oh, well, you're going after this type of e-commerce brand. Here's what they need to be thinking about. And it's like when you're first getting started and you don't know that, and you're just looking online through the billion videos uploaded to YouTube every hour, it's like, good luck trying to figure those things out. And that's where speed and getting a little help, it's standing on the shoulders of giants. That's what I feel like real mentorship should be about. It's like giving you that extra edge because you can get someone results way faster because you have other people with experience on your team who can give that give you that experience that you don't necessarily have.
Super interesting. I like that. I like that. That's really good. So segueing over to filmmakers. I know you mentioned the course that you have. What kind of advice would you give, I guess, beginning filmmakers at, you know, these days, like YouTube is incredibly saturated. Videos everywhere, especially now coming off the quarantine. I want to say YouTube accounts have doubled since we've been locked down. What steps would kind of new videographers, filmmakers, people that are looking to kind of start a company at this point would need to take, you know? I don't know today if, you know, when I started back, you know, 8 years ago now, I went door to door to businesses offering free videos, you know, and I did a few free videos. Is that still a good method to start? Maybe even get a few videos under your reel? I mean, what are some steps they can take?
it's a nuanced question. I wouldn't really want to give someone the bad advice based on who they are. Like, that's one of the reasons I like having conversations with people is like you, for you, back 8 years ago in that time frame, going and shooting free videos, did it help you?
I think it helped me in the sense that I had a portfolio to offer to at least show potential customers what I can do.
Did it also, do you feel it helped you with confidence? Being like, I can do this at a level.
I was absolutely proud of those videos at the time.
There we go. There we go. So like that to me is what is the value of doing something for free, is not just the portfolio. A lot of it comes into like the ability to get creative with clients is easier when you're doing something for free. The ability to build confidence when you're uncertain and you're still developing like your social skills as far as like managing a project and managing other people's personalities on a project, pretty important, but that will help you. Having done it a couple times or even once will help you in a sales environment because you're like, I know what it's like after this. So it'll be more comfortable for you to actually enroll people as clients. So all those things, there's lots of benefits to doing something for free. But it's not right for everybody. And I'm a much bigger fan of the eat what you grow mentality versus the like just work for free until you have a reel. So in the marketing space, that's really easy because eat what you grow in the marketing space is, hey, I create this video for you. We put it here. We run these ads. You run these ads. Whatever sales come from this, I get a piece of the profit. Okay, there we go. Also, what you're doing there is every single client becomes an asset for you, right? So a lot of people in the video production space, they're selling time, always selling time. Like if you look at anyone who's become wealthy, Warren Buffett says, like his quote is, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you'll work until you die. Video is one of those things where we have the ability to leverage it because it's automated. Like we put it out there and it can produce for us forever. Granted, there's people looking at it, right?
Right.
So if we do it properly, we can leverage it and we no longer have to sell time after a while because we've got so many assets out there and clients using them that we're perpetually making an income without us doing anything. Kind of like an actor who acts in a movie, right? Then he gets royalties.
Right, right.
You can do the same thing with your videos, but you have to be strategic about it.
That's very interesting. I would like to dive in a little bit into that because that's not anything that I've ever even thought of. I know that some people, especially for some reason, I mostly see it in voice actors, right? Where they charge according to how their voice is going to be used and where it's going to be used and at what extent it's going to be used. Like if it's going to be a nationwide commercial or commercial that you will see in a Super Bowl, they're going to charge you quite a pretty penny for their services. Whereas opposed to a video that's going to just go on the company website and just going to live there. How would you approach a company sort of like that? You know, like what's some sort of method that you would use?
Well, eat what you grow is relatively easy in the sense that it's very similar to making an offer to shoot a video for free, which you will get a lot of people to accept in the sense that I personally think number one, before you go out making offers to do anything for anyone, whether it's paid, free, eat what you grow, whatever, you have to learn how to actually value yourself.
That's very true.
You have to value your time because offering something where you're working for free or doing eat what you grow and doing a profit share, my friend, you still do not want to accept everyone who wants to take you on that offer. You want to put a standard.
No, absolutely.
There.
I never advocate. Well, I've always advocated for doing work for free, but yeah, I've never kind of really put out there, don't just accept anyone, you know, approach people purposefully. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. So that intent, that summary there, if you need help with that, reach out to one, either of us, cause we will hold you up.
Oh my gosh. And, there's so many good examples of that.
Exactly. But going beyond that, like you can do it in any way, form of outreach. You could do what you did back in the day and just walk into businesses and say, hey, listen, I am a smart filmmaker. I love what I do. And I've got these ideas for your company. And I think they could produce a lot of revenue for you. And I would like to create them for you. For me to do that, I would need to know that you want this, that, and the other thing. Meaning like you want to grow your business. You believe that this will work for you as well. And you're willing to invest in the distribution of this video. If you fit those marks, I'll shoot this for you for free. Granted, I get a piece of what it brings you when you go to distribute it. Mm. That's a method.
That's definitely sounds like a entrepreneur that's a filmmaker rather than a filmmaker that's, you know, looking to make money. So when I started, it was more of I just purely loved what I did.
For sure.
And I'm like, man, I just want to shoot something, right? Yeah. And when I started my business, I had done a ton of work for my church. So effectively, that was my reel, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't do the whole, you know, bunch of free videos for a long time. I just did a few. But still, it kind of gave me an idea of what it's like to work with a business. And that's where, you know, it was valuable for me and, you know, got me sort of a little bit of momentum. But, you know, I don't know that I'm hesitant to kind of put out a percentage of how many filmmakers think the way you're talking about and the way that kind of how I started. I did it because I just purely loved the art of filmmaking. Now, someone that is looking at it from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you know, looking at it to kind of thinking like Warren Buffett is thinking, I don't know how many people, for sure. Which I'm not saying is wrong. I think it's great. I think it's good, you know? I don't know how many people take that approach at the beginning, you know, which is very interesting. And I love that you're bringing it up because it's a very different concept.
I think very few do.
I know. Oh, you know, absolutely.
You do now, right? Like you look at it and you love what you do, but you also have an entrepreneurial side to it because this is not a hobby for you. Right. This is a living.
Yeah.
Right. And I think every filmmaker, whether it's they start this way or they become this way, has to grow that. If they want to do this long-term for a living, you have to grow the business skill set for yourself and recognize like, if you don't want this to be a hobby, you need to know how to charge for your services. You need to know how to make a living from it. And the way I share with my clients is it's actually kind of backwards. A lot of us get into it for passion. But at the end of the day, your service is, from a business standpoint, it's a client retention system. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like your service isn't, you could be, there's a lot of phenomenal filmmakers who have been struggling and they're 60 years old and they're still in the exact same place as when they were 19 and got started, right? Or 20 when they got started because they didn't develop those business muscles. And they're phenomenal at what they do. They've been through the generations. I talk to a ton of them. And they're still just sitting in that place where it's like selling time for money. Not really knowing, still loving what they do, but just never really got that part of them to click. And not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just, it's the only thing that's wrong with it is when your expectation is one thing and your reality is another and you don't know how to bridge them. Right. And so for the business side of us, like we have to look beyond just the service and delivering phenomenal quality videos and shooting things that are fun to how are these valuable to the world? Like movies are valuable because they're entertainment.
Right. Okay.
And that's why it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Commercials are valuable because they help businesses grow, increase their revenue. Music videos are valuable because they help the artists get exposure for their art. And then of course that leads to, once they have exposure, they sell more tickets. Mm-hmm. They grow their business, right? As an artist. So all of those things come back to the business side of things. Mm-hmm. And where we start may not be where we end, but There's a really great video, actually. Casey Neistat, love that
dude.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
And Tony Hawk. And he's asking Tony Hawk, and he's like, how can someone get started in skateboarding and like really turn skateboarding into a career the way you've done? And Tony's advice wasn't to become the best skateboarder in the world. His advice was to learn everything about what skateboarding has to offer the world. Mm. He was like, even if you don't love every part of it, like learn the business side, learn the sponsorship side, learn the networking side, meet the people, go everywhere and learn it all, because that's how he's been able to propel himself into an icon in the industry, was by, yes, he's phenomenal, but also he was willing to do the things that other skateboarders weren't, who just wanted to skate. Mm. Essentially, he built those business skills. So
that's super interesting, man. It's a completely different perspective that I've ever heard in, I guess, this industry. I mean, and I love that you're sharing that here. Yeah, now you got my mind like going all over the place, because it's just a completely sort of different direction. I guess what I would say the equivalent, I mean, a lot of people love the art of filmmaking so much so that they're willing to still, even as prominent as they get, as good as they get, they still just want to make the art, you know? And, you know, like a big goal is to have something on Netflix or have something there that's sort of generating still, you know, revenue. And for example, to have a documentary on Netflix, which is kind of one of my dreams, I've been reluctant enough to be able to be a part of a bunch of Netflix documentaries, not as a director, but as a shooter. And that's great. You know, I'm not getting any of those royalties and whatnot, but it seems like a great goal to have, but it's very far-fetched in the sense that you really have to work at that. Like, you really have to love this storytelling,
yeah,
whatever it is that you want to create, because it's incredibly hard. It's incredibly difficult. It's just so much work to do.
It is indeed. And anything worthwhile really tends to be difficult.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule, right? Like, you got to put the 10,000 hours in. And in the filmmaking space, it's like you put the 10,000 hours in and you're at step one as far as getting towards Netflix. congrats. And it's an interesting industry. And like anything, that's where I love the Tony Hawk mindset, really. Yeah. Is like, would it benefit you to not only be an amazing filmmaker and director, but benefit you to have those skills to be able to create really good connections, really network in business environments and know what the heck is going on at every level of a production from a business standpoint? Mm. Like, what is Netflix trying to accomplish? Would knowing that help you with getting Netflix documentary? Probably, right? Mm. Like, it's like those things and knowing those relationships and being able to go out and proactively get them versus sitting back and waiting for them to come to you based on the work you've done. That intent, that energy will propel you forward faster. Like, how much faster? I have no idea. But will it make you move faster? Absolutely. And I don't think that that's necessarily something that like is very different in the industry. Mm-hmm. But it is something that the people who move a lot faster than others have. And it's that intent, it's that willingness to be proactive, and it's the business aspect inside and understanding and presence mm-hmm. that really matters at the end of the day for a lot of filmmakers and directors.
That's super interesting, man. I love that you just shared all that. Last thing I think I would say, and you got me thinking about that Warren Buffett quote, you know, people making money in their sleep. There's just a lot of people. And again, not to say that you're wrong, I think that there's room for everything. It depends on what the person's goal is. And, you know, just thinking out loud, if I was making, let's say I'm making good money, let's say I don't have to work anymore, what would I be doing? I would still be shooting.
Filmmaking.
So yep. I love what I do, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that love what they do, but it's good to know that there's a different sort of direction that you can head into. You know, if you really want to go in the direction of really making money, you know, you might have to, and you might not, but you might have to kind of let go of the actual production aspect of it and focus your effort somewhere else. And what I mean by that is, if the intent is to make money, this is what I tell people when wanting to start video production as a business, as a career. If you don't absolutely love it, you're going to hate it as a business, just because it's already hard enough to build a business by itself. It's hard enough to get companies to pay you to make videos. And if you don't absolutely love it, that means you're not learning it. You're not going to be so dedicated enough to make such great videos that companies are going to be willing to pay you to make these videos. And I feel like you're going to be beating yourself up about it too. So I always encourage people I love the self-employed model. Just do what you love. You know, if all you love is audio, focus on audio. If all you love is, editing, just do editing only. You don't have to do everything, you know? And that same thing for any other industry. Do exactly what you love. And I feel like there's a model for basically everything to be self-employed, but, you know, virtually. And obviously I'm sure there's some things that there aren't, but that's what I tell people. And if you're coming into video production for the money and not because you just love video production, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's ways, that you could just be very successful and not be fully in. I'm saying this because I don't know that route. I don't know that model that you're talking about, you know? And yeah. I love that you're sharing that. Uh-huh.
It's coming from a different place too. Like, you're coming from a place of passion and love and experience in that arena. Mm-hmm. And then you learn the business skills.
Sure.
I can say from my world that there are a ton of people who are business people who are flocking into the video space because of the capability to earn an incredible income here. It's there for both. Yeah. Whether you're passionate like you or a business person on the other side. And I think at the end of the day, it's one thing. It's like so vague to be like, hey, like it's really difficult to make it in this industry. And just if you here's one way of doing it with weddings, here's another way with this, here's another way with that. And like, people just get this shiny object syndrome and they're like, I'm going to be this now. There's so much that you can do that, there's lots of ways to make an income in this industry. And I think where a lot of people fall short is either on one end of the spectrum. Like, you're either a technician who is phenomenal at their craft, phenomenal at editing, phenomenal at shooting, phenomenal at directing, phenomenal at script writing. Like, they've got it and they're incredible, but then they ignore everything business. And it's like, that person still struggles. Then you have the person who's purely business, but has none of the technician skills, can't shoot, can't direct, can't do any editing. And he's like, man, that guy's struggling because people aren't coming back. People aren't hiring him again. And,
I do have a funny story. I do have a friend that hires me a lot, right? He brings me good work. I'm going to spare his name just because I don't want to embarrass him. I don't know if he listens to the podcast. I have a friend that hires me a lot. He brings me good work. His work sucks. Like, he is not good. I say that as someone that, you know, I love improving. I love getting better. I've been working with him for several years and he hasn't gotten he hasn't gotten any better. And even then, he hasn't even like been interested in getting better. However, he gets a ton of work. He gets a ton of work because all his time is focused on SEO, building his company, making sure that he's getting as many leads as possible. He gets a ton of work. I hate his work in the sense that I would not provide that for my clients. You won't see that in a reel. You know, he'll ask me, you know, if I'm shooting something for him, let's say a conference or whatnot, he tells me, you know, if it gets a little dark, well, just put a light on the camera. I hate lights on cameras. I hate on camera lights. I personally think they're terrible. I hate doing that. He's not somebody that I would hire for any one of my jobs. However, he is a business guy and he makes good money. He makes really good money. You know,
that's what I mean by the business people flocking to the video industry. Video is more in demand now than it's probably ever been in history.
Yeah.
And I've been preaching that for 3-4 years now online. Mm-hmm. And, people still see me and are like, I don't believe you. I can't get a single person to pay me for a video. And I'm like, well, you're doing something wrong. And I can help you with that, but there's so much disbelief behind it.
Really? That's interesting.
And, but that's the business side of things, right? And being willing to look at things through a different view and recognize that there's a lot of opportunity out there. Mm. If you look and approach things the right way. Go for it, man.
No, yeah. I mean, when I first started, it's funny. I made t-shirts for my company. Back then, my company name was 10 Gates Productions. And I made t-shirts. It said, in the back, it said, everything that I offer, wedding videos, vlogging videos, corporate videos, commercials, documentaries.
60 things long, like... rows and rows.
Now I don't even know if I would do any of those today. Yeah. It gets more specialized as you grow.
You do.
I think that so these days I barely even edit. You know, if I'm editing, it's for a church video or I don't know. Sometimes I maybe get 2-3 editing jobs a year. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's stuff that I shoot myself and edit that I get hired to do. But it's because I get mostly hired to shoot and deliver footage. But you know what? I love it. And I think subconsciously, that's the kind of clients that I'm attracting. You know, I'm not putting out. I just love the production part of it, too. And I think I've never been able to answer that question. Like, what do I like more? I always say I like it all, but I think I like the production part of it the most, the shooting part. Yeah. I love the editing if it's something that I'm very excited about, if it's like a passion project that I'm excited to put together. But I don't know. I just love the production. And most of my kind of thinking is, how do I make every client a recurring client? You know, how do I, because that's what makes me happy, you know? And if I'm shooting and getting paid to shoot and making a living shooting and continuing to do that on an annual basis and whatnot, and it's, you know, it's holding me off very well, I'm extraordinarily successful, you know?
Yeah. And everyone's got a different definition of success.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And like you have to understand that aspect of things is like, as filmmakers, depending on who you're going to help, like, going to an executive at Netflix, understanding where they're at, like executives at Netflix, they're not struggling for money for one. So like your idea isn't going to make them go crazy. Yeah. Right. And it's like, they get pitched all the time. And it's like, you have to understand who that person is, what they want. Same thing in the business space. Like a lot of filmmakers will go to a business and be like, hey, I'll shoot you a video. I think it might help you make an extra $2,000 or something. It's like the business owner is like, if I don't make $2,000 an hour, I am broke. Mm. Right. And there are a lot of people out there like that. For your definition of wealth, that will always be changing. Mm. Like when you're a kid, wealth looks like a beach in Bali, you making films and like enjoying your life and having fun and shooting on big projects and, you know, living freely. And like, that could be it. Or, you know, then you might get a girlfriend or a wife or a partner. And then the next thing is like, I want a house and I want
a backyard. Just to clarify, you know, when I say when I'm extraordinarily successful, it's essentially that, you know, it also stems from where I come from. Right.
100%.
It stems from where I come from. I come from a low income, you know, background. So, you know, when I first started my company, when I first started my business, you know, there was a time where I was working security. I had a bachelor's degree working security at $15 an hour. And then when I would see my paychecks, I'm like, man, I'm never going to be able to sustain a family with this. But even when I started my business, I wasn't making much. And I've always had that doubt. You know, I've always had that doubt. And, you know, to be able to sustain yourself as a full-time freelancer, you know, it's very scary. But then seeing it unfold before my very eyes year after year and sort of making more money every single year when I go back and look at my books, to me, that's like, man, and to have the freedom, to be able to pursue other stuff as well, you know, things like that, to me, that's I'm not making millions a year here, you know? And so to me, that's extraordinary success for me. And that's fully what I mean by that. So,
and that's beautiful. And for you, where you are now, I bet there's a place you want to get to. Oh,
absolutely.
Next, right? Absolutely. Every goal creates a new girl.
Every time.
It's fun. It's fun. That's one of the biggest joys of life.
I think. Oh, yeah.
It's just the fact that
just continuing to pursue. And then my kid is not going to know about he'll hear stories, but he'll start off from where I finish off. You know, he'll learn from if he decides to take, you know, kind of my route. But, you know, also it's a concept. It's also, to me, it's like a learning concept of working for what you have, you know, and working for that success and what your relative definition of success is. So
I have a newsletter I send all my clients. It's just called the Wealthy Creator Newsletter. And I send it to all of them. And part of it, like the first one I ever sent out, was about this concept that wealth is different for everybody. So many people just think of the word and go with finances, but really, like, living a wealthy, fulfilled life comes from being fulfilled creatively, like what you're doing, you're growing, you're learning. It's with your time, like being able to spend your time doing the things you want, like you defining, you like the production side. Well, then design your life around being able to do more than that. Like, you know, some of my really good friends, I mean, like Jacob Owens, he's a good friend of mine. And for him, he's happiest when he's doing multiple things that give him creativity. Like, he wants to be doing three companies and enjoying himself by being able to flex his creative muscles on different types of challenges and exciting things. Right. And some people look at that and are like, I would die if I was in that scenario. Right. They're like, I want one thing, want to do it better than anybody else. And I want to love that one thing. It's like, that's the person who wants to be in the editing room. All right, build your lifestyle around that. Go find 30 clients who will send you editing upon editing upon editing for you to do at a great rate that delivers a lot of value to them because you're doing a good job. And it's like, there's ways to make it work in every scenario, but you must define that scenario and that definition for yourself. So, agree, 100%.
That's awesome. Dude, thanks so much for coming on, man. I feel like we could continue on about this topic, and it's been honestly really, really awesome having you. Can you go ahead and share all the links? How can people find you? Where can they find your courses and your mentorship program and all that stuff?
Sure. So everything's available at MrPaulXavier.com. And of course, I'll give you all the links to everything and you can throw them below the show notes here.
No, absolutely.
However that works. And just don't feel scared if you're listening to this to reach out. My entire team, we do over 80 hours a week of one-on-one calls with people for free. So if you want to talk business because you're lacking that strategy and you want it, reach out. We will help you. We'll just get you on a phone with an advisor and talk to you there.
That's awesome. And that's MrPaulXavier.com. As you mentioned, we'll have those links in the show notes for this episode. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, great to be here. That was fun.
So there you have it, my conversation with Paul Xavier. You can see what I was talking about before, how he basically opened up my mind to see the industry of filmmaking, my career, basically my love, my passion, in a whole new light. Definitely taking that stuff and sort of kind of thinking about new things and new avenues that could possibly be explored. And maybe, you know, I might not want to even go that route just for the sake of keeping the artistry of what I love to do as art. So obviously you cannot ignore that you need to make a living with this stuff. So I think there's always room for everything. And that's why conversations like these are very important, so that you guys can understand, so that we can all understand the importance of what we do, how we can go about it, and the different avenues that we can take in order to make this our livelihood. And I think ultimately for freelancers, getting what we love to do and making it a great source of revenue, it's just so many directions. There's so many different things that can be done, so many different options to explore. And people like Paul Xavier are really putting that out there, and that's definitely appreciated for sure. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. Remember, links to everything are going to be on the show notes down below. And also, if this episode was of value to you, would you do me a big favor and go and share it with somebody? Show it to somebody that could really benefit from this. Someone maybe that's starting a production company that cannot decide what to do, what direction, what route to go, or things to think about. This would be a great episode for them to know that. So go and share it with someone. Let them know that you're thinking about them, you're a good friend, and that you want to help them out. So I hope that this was very valuable. And remember to leave us a good review over on iTunes. A 5-star review is very much appreciated. And let me know your thoughts on the episode and how this podcast is sort of coming along. And I would love to know all that stuff. Everything could be found over at iFilmmakerPodcast.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am your host, Ariel Martinez, and I will see you on the next one.